34. Okay, Isaiah 34. Jackson, could you close that sliding door back there, please? And let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us now as we approach the Holy Book, that you'd help us to set aside, forget some of the things that we were doing today, and to focus on your words, and help us to see the prophecy of this book, and help us to see the power that you will soon reveal at your second coming. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to do what we can to be prepared to see you face to face. Look forward to that day. Pray for that day. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to occupy till you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Isaiah 34. This is the second half of Isaiah as far as chapters go, but actually Isaiah 40 would be something that parallels the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 40 paralleling the 40th book in the Bible, Matthew. It's so much of a difference, some scholars think that they talk about a Deutero-Isaiah. Isn't that a funny way how to say something? You get a little education, you got to use these $50 words, deutero, deutero, duet, two Isaiah. Why don't they just say two Isaiahs? They're going to say a deutero. Okay, they think it's two different guys, but Jesus Christ said that it wasn't. Okay, he cited from Isaiah anything prior to chapter 40, after chapter 40, and all that goes to Isaiah. According to the Lord, chapter 34 is about the second coming. It's about a place that the Bible calls Edom, that we call today, modern man calls Saudi Arabia today. Okay, and this place is prophesied here that it's going to be turned into a lake of fire. The sulfur will come up, you know, south of the Dead Sea there, and then this place is going to be where you can walk by it and everything. This is something the Lord wants everybody to know. Verse 1, he says, "Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it." What the Lord wants everybody to know this. Not salvation of the soul. What is this? It's about a fiery return of Jesus Christ. All nations, all Gentile nations, he is going to stand up and make a political statement that he is the Holy One of Israel, and this is how adamant he's about it, is that he is going to torch the ones who take advantage of Israel. Verse 2, "For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nation, indignant, anger, wrath, fury, vengeance. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies," coalition of forces, Muslim armies, United Nations troops. "He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter." Okay, if we follow the grammar, past tense, he hath. So this would be the Lord taking himself and transporting himself into the future from our perspective, from God's perspective, the present tense, anytime he is. And right at the second coming of Christ, he is announcing to the world. And he says, "Look what I just did." And the eagles will be there, the birds will be there, and he's saying, medium well section, rare, you know, the well done section, and the birds are going to have their fill. Okay, and he's going to destroy them. Verse 2, "Their slain shall or else shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses. And the mountain shall melt with their blood. Okay, the blood of that is written in Revelation 14, Revelation 19, the blood coming to the horse's bridle. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. What is that? All the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. It's interesting, if you type host of heaven and run that as a phrase throughout the Bible, 19 occurrences, and these occurrences will be dealing with the angels and devils that are above our head in space, floating around, the hosts of heaven. And the host in this context that's going to be dissolved, it's going to be blown up, taken away, will be obviously the demonic forces. And the heavens shall roll together as a scroll. The heavens going to roll back, the veil, the northern lights, the curtain is going to be pulled back. Okay, and then they will see the Lord Jesus Christ or the Father on the throne, and they're going to try to hide themselves from the face of the wrath of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 19. So the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. Heavens, plural. First, second heaven, looking right into the third heaven. And all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth from a vine and as a falling fig from a fig tree. Now, I don't know why it is, but if you type in fig and vine, I think those are found like 24 times in the Bible, and 23 of them are all in the same passage. Vine and fig trees, always together. Vine tree, that's the only tree that's forbidden fruit in the Bible. Then he says, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Okay, what is that place? Now, I have cross references in the middle. Letter H runs to Genesis 32:3. Okay, Judges 5:4, and so we can stop and look at those and see if those help us figure out where he's writing about. It's like some nations have multiple names, some cities have multiple names. Genesis 32, let's see, verse 3. Okay, this one, I just run it to Edom. Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Okay, now, a person sees that, oh, you say, well, that's just opinion going from that to Edom to Seir. I don't know if that's a good reference, okay? That's true, that's true. So we keep finding, keep looking for Edomia throughout the Bible. We'll see down in verse 6, it's called Bozrah. That's another place. Okay, we run those references for that. Let's try Judges 5:4. That's the song of Deborah and Barak. Now, the song is about the second coming. Okay, this one says, Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai. Okay, now we're getting a better clue here. Edom and Sinai, from before the Lord, God of Israel. Where's Sinai? Mount Sinai. Galatians 4:24, Sinai is in Arabia. So Edomia, Edom. Let's see if we can find one where Edom is used interchangeably. Ezekiel 35, I do believe, might be the one we're looking for. Okay, Ezekiel 35. Ezekiel 35, 15 verses. This is a fiery judgment on Edomites. Okay, and Edomites would be your modern day Arabs. And he tells why he's going to torch them. Okay, Mount Seir, Bozrah, okay, Sinai, Edomia, Edom. Okay, Ezekiel 35, verse 11. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord, there's a swearing, there's an oath, I will even do according to thine anger, according to thine envy. He's talking to the Edomites, to the Muslims. Why do they hate the Jews so much? It's because of their envy. Envy is a satanic sin. Now, if we drop down to verse 15, as thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, all Edomia. There's our connection. Okay, there's what I was looking for. All Edomia, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So Edomia, Mount Seir, in that same chapter, Mount Seir in verse 2, Mount Seir verse 3, okay, and then the other references we had, we put them all together, get them all together. This is modern-day Saudi Arabia. Okay, Saudi Arabia, where Mount Sinai is located, on the east side of Aqaba. That region is what he's writing about here, and he's 15 verses. Verse 16, he goes to seeking the book of the Lord. Seek out the book of the Lord and read. And so now we got our footing. I got Ezekiel 25:13 handwritten in here. Oh, okay. That's a pretty good one too. Ezekiel 25:13. This one says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman. Teman is where Eliphaz came from. Eliphaz, one of the three that was pestering Job. He's called Eliphaz the Temanite. That was a place known for, quote, wisdom, the wise men of the east. Teman and they of Dedan. Dedan shall fall by the sword. Dedan is a name for Arabia. Another name for all that's put together. And, of course, the playground of these people is the Emirate States is what's called, now I slipped my brain. Okay, must have got lonely. Dubai. Okay, Dubai. The playground of the Arab Emirates and all their wealthy fat cats of the oil industry and everything. Type in Dubai and get off the internet and see all the stuff that they got going on there. Okay, and sadly that's going to be all torched. That's just going to be a lake of fire. Okay, if we believe the chapter, which I do, and verse 5 of chapter 34. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven, behold, it shall come down upon Edomia and upon the people of my curse. These people are cursed. Arabs. That doesn't mean they can't get saved. We're all under a curse. Okay, we're all under a curse of Adam. These people got an extra curse because of their envy, their jealousy, their hatred of God's people. Okay, to judgment. Verse 6. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. Okay, it's going to be... Yes? I don't know. I don't know. That would be... Yeah. Yes? Same region, same, yeah.
No.
Dubai, no, not India.
D-U-B-A-I.
That's amazing stuff there, the wealth and everything. Okay, great slaughter in the land of Edomia. I don't know if you can put it together with maybe it's coming through Ishmael. Ishmael, that could still be coming through Canaan, though. Ishmael's across. The context seems to be, it seems to be more of an envy, but... Okay, let's see... Now, verse 7. And the unicorns shall come down with them. What is that? Unicorns. Today, unicorns are known, you know, with what, the Smurfs, does that have the unicorns? Some rainbow thing, you know. It seems like the queers were the rainbow and unicorns. I don't know, something of that. But unicorns. You know, the unicorns of what we think of as a horse, you know, with a horn, that, I don't know if that's the same in the Bible. This is something that's spiritual, demonic, verse 4, it's going with the host of heaven. Unicorns is found 5 or 6 times in the Bible. We find it in Psalms 22. Interestingly, Psalms 22, the crucifixion psalm. And it's talking about unicorns, it's talking about the bulls of Bashan. And we know it's not talking about four-legged animals. It's something to do with devils. And here's something, you look at that, you just say, scratch your head, say, what's that? I don't know. And a unicorn shall come down. Come down from where? Are they coming from heaven? Verse 4. And the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. So there's something in the Bible we just, okay, I don't know what it is. Yeah, I've heard rhinoceri, you know, because it's got one horn, but I don't know. Seems to be more than that. Job writes about this a little bit, or the Lord talked about it in Job. Job 39, 40. I don't know what it is, though. Verse 8. Now, this makes it very, very clear what's going on. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. Okay, so for 6,000 years, from Adam until this time or approximately thereof, this is the second coming of the Lord. He's coming back, Revelation, he's angry. And he is going to come back and restore the nation of Israel. It is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. See, that Middle East crisis is a big deal with God. Okay, and so where the Jews, the Arabs wanting that piece of property, God says, no, that's mine. So you talk about a controversy. There it is. In verse 9, and the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, lava, sulfur. And the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched, night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. So then we got a paragraph mark. Now, there's that idea there. Is that literal? Has to be. Okay, this idea of not quenching. Jesus said 3 times in Mark 9, where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He closed Isaiah 66, verse 24, about this fire. The last verse in Isaiah, they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. So this area, this region over there, as the sulfur comes up from hell, you know, something like the Yellowstone, we have them sulfur springs and things like that, and it's hot and everything. As that comes up, it's going to turn that into lava, brimstone. And that's going to be a place that one can see. You can't walk through it because he said you can't pass through it, but you can observe it. And this helps us explain a very strange passage in the Sermon on the Mount. If you would, Mark Matthew chapter 5. It's interesting to me how liberals are really claim to believe in the Sermon on the Mount. A lady in Chicago told me about how wonderful the Sermon on the Mount was, and where Jesus said all the Beatitudes. And I said, yeah, what about those places where he said hell fire in the Sermon on the Mount? You know, and they don't want to talk about those. But in Matthew 5, verse 29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, both of those mention somebody's in danger of their body being thrown into hell. But when an unsaved individual dies today, their body goes back to the dust, their soul goes to hell. Whoever this is in danger of being thrown bodily into hell. So that can't happen today, and it can't happen in the Old Testament. The only time in the Old Testament anything like that did occur was with Korah, where the earth opened up and swallowed him in. So this has to be, we got to figure out a time period. When somebody reads that, what do they do with that? You got to figure out a time period where that is capable of being done. And it's got to match the pieces of the puzzle that God has laid out as rightly divided in the Scriptures. And the time period, if we read Matthew 5, verse down here to verse 34 and 35, chapter 5, verse 34, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. It's the time when the King of Kings is ruling in Jerusalem. That's the millennial time period. So if Isaiah 34, second coming of Christ, Matthew 5, constitution for the kingdom, there's a perfect match. And that's how you rightly divide the book. And that tells us that that place, the Bible calls Edom, Edomia, Bozrah, Mount Seir, Mount Sinai, Teman, Dedan, Arabia. That area is going to be turned into a literal lake of fire. Now, what's associated? Verse 11, it says, for the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, the owl. The owl. Also, and the raven shall dwell in it, he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. These are unclean. What's a cormorant? Is that a bird of some type? Okay, bird. A bittern, obviously. Owl. Now, owl, I remember hearing in Colorado, when we were in Colorado Springs, somebody had told us through the grapevine that the preacher preaches against owls. And I never heard him preach about it. And I was told that he, you know, really frowns upon them. And we had two great big owl lamps in our kitchen, or in our living room. Unfortunately, I never heard the sermon, and I guess he got it from this passage. Okay, that's how it goes. He preached against a lot of things. Okay, these are unclean birds. The symbolism is that these birds, these spirits associated with this area. Verse 12, they shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all their princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be a habitation of dragons and a court of owls. There they are again. A habitation of dragons. Dragons in the Bible could be similar to our word of dinosaur or reptile of some type. But there's one dragon, red dragon, the main dragon, Revelation 12 and 13, but there are many dragons. So what is this habitation of dragons? Okay, if we go to Malachi 1, verse 2, what did I use there? T. Jeremiah? Oh. Okay, I don't know what that is. Malachi 1, verse 2. This is the place where he says that I loved Jacob. In verse 3, I hated Esau and laid his mountain as his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness, whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, and so forth. Well, let's read it. We are impoverished, and we will return and build the desolate places. No, you're not. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. You thought of pouring salt in the wound. So this is why in that region there's such absurd behavior. Where these people can maybe capture a soldier and, you know, take his body and drag it through the streets and then hang it up on some things, and then they let the kids come around and poke at it, and, you know, that ain't good sense. And that's people who are just infested with devils. And this is why the utter hatred that these people have, okay, is because it's a complete habitation or stronghold for dragons, devils, and it's a hatred for God and his people. I got Zephaniah 2:14. Okay, that's something else. Dragon. Jeremiah 49:33. I think that's about, I think that's Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar being like a dragon. Jeremiah 49:33. And Hazor shall be a dwelling for dragons and a desolation forever. There shall no man abide there, nor any son of man dwell in it. So, that's with Kedar, that's with Nebuchadnezzar, that's with Babylon, that's with Iraq, all that region over there. So, obviously, with this great information, you're going to get a flight over to Saudi Arabia and try to go to church there. There ain't one. Verse 13, 14, the wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island. And a satyr shall cry to his fellow. Satyr, I forget what that is. What is that? Anybody know what that is? Is it? Shall cry to his fellow. And the screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest. Now, man, we've read owls four times. You see how wicked they are. The great owl. Make her nest and lay in hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, everyone with her mate. Okay, and then paragraph mark. So this is the Lord. The Lord is informing the entire world, all the nations, the United Nations and company, and he's saying, hey, I'm mad. And I don't like the controversy that you have where people are fighting and parting my land, and you're taking my children, and you're selling some of the men for a harlot and some of the women for some booze, and you've been sacrificing them. And so I'm going to tell you what I think about it. Get the blowtorch out and start torching them. So then he says in verse 16 to us, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Find God's book. Read it. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for her mouth is it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. What proves the Bible is the word of God is its prophecies. None of them shall fail. You see, and so this is a prophecy. The Lord has predicted this, what, about 700 B.C.? 2,700 years later, the Lord is going to take his copy of Isaiah and he's going to show people, the nations, he's looking here, this is what I said and this is what I'm doing. And I'm God. There's none beside me. There's none else. There is none like me. And you dragons and you hosts of heaven and Satan yourself, let's see what you can do, what I can do. And he's going to throw them in hell. This is a God of the Bible. Verse 17, he hath cast the lot for them. His hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. So that's what the Lord's planning on doing. So I wouldn't buy real estate there. Talk about global warming. And so that's chapter 34. Okay, we'll stop there. Any questions or comments over here? Yes, ma'am. The little 16, that little thing there, that's like, it's almost, it's like setting some things off at